conquests under Uthman radiallahu anhu. The conquests made by Umar radiallahu anhu in Iraq and Iran had shaken the Persian Empire, but had not destroyed it. There were still some lands in their hands. Some of the lands taken by the Muslims rebelled after the death of Umar. Uthman directed Al-Walid ibn Utbah radiallahu anhu, the governor of Kufa in Iraq, to take steps against them. Al-Walid radiallahu anhu attacked Azerbaijan, and its people agreed to pay the tribute again. He sent a force under the command of Salman radiallahu anhu to Armenia, but because of its difficult terrain, it could not be completely conquered. The same year, the people of the Ray in Iran had revolted, but they were overpowered by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Likewise, there was an uprising in Alexandria, Egypt, which was also put down. Al-Walid radiallahu anhu was ordered by Uthman to send 10,000 soldiers to Syria under the command of Salman to defeat the Romans who attacked the Muslim frontiers. As a result, the Romans lost some of their fortresses. Following their success, the Muslims conquered Asia Minor and established contacts with their forces on the Persian side. From there, they went as far as Tiflis and to the shores of the Black Sea. In Egypt, Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh, radiallahu anhu, carried his arms along the coast beyond Tripoli and Barqa and threatened Carthage and the far west. He was met by a huge Roman army. He sent a letter to Uthman asking for reinforcements. Uthman radiallahu anhu sent 10,000 men under the command of Abdullah ibn Az-Zubayr. The outcome of this battle was going to determine the fate of the whole African coast. Uthman promised a personal reward of 1/5 of the share of the state in the spoils of war.
O noblemen of Rome, look at these reports that I've handed out to each of you. You will see that the Empire of Rome is in peril from these Muslims. We are in peril in our northern African frontier.
What are we supposed to do? Look at more reports! I've had enough of these reports. These bearded barbarians will come in here. Take our very wives.
They'll take our whole empire if we don't destroy them.
Every group has a leader.
Let's target their leaders.
They want nothing but our wealth. Let's offer our wealth for their leaders.
On the other side, the Romans declared a reward of 1,000 pounds to anyone killing the Muslim leader. Historians place this battle as the third in magnitude after Qadisiyah and Yarmouk. The Roman leader was killed by Abdullah ibn Az-Zubayr, and the Muslim army gave the Romans a big blow. As the Islamic State had reached seas and oceans everywhere, there was a great need to establish a fleet of ships in order to help armies cross to the capital of the Byzantine Empire and to spread Islam to Africa and Europe. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, the governor of Syria, was very eager to establish the fleet. He asked the former caliph Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, to permit him to build a naval force, but Omar did not give him permission. Uthman finally gave him the permission. The first fleet was equipped in the 28th year after the Hijra under the command of Abu Qais radiallahu anhu. The fleet was joined by Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh, radiallahu anhu, with other ships manned by Egyptian and Arab warriors. The fleet advanced upon Cyprus, which was easily conquered, and a large number of men were made captives. On the day of victory, Abu ad-Darda, radiallahu anhu, a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, burst into tears. Someone asked him the reason for shedding tears instead of feeling happy and joyful over the event. He replied, "These Cypriots were rulers, but when they disobeyed Allah and ignored His teachings, they were reduced to the state you see now. The Byzantines made large preparations to regain their losses. 3 years after the fall of Cyprus, they gathered a fleet of 500 to 600 warships and attacked the Muslims at sea. Abdullah ibn Abi As-Sarh took the challenge, and with a force much less in number and equipment, but manned by brave warriors, could defeat the Byzantines. Before the battle took place, the Muslims spent the whole night in prayers and recitation of the Quran while the Greeks kept on chiming their bells."
Jiggle, 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 jiggle.
Damn. Damn. Get those Muslims in the morning.
But not tonight.
Not tonight, yeah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. الم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله. Servants of Allah, it's time.
In the morning, the Greeks could not withstand the Muslims' attack and fled. Under the rule of Uthman, the Muslims expanded the Islamic State in every direction. Many of the inhabitants of the conquered lands accepted Islam. Those who kept their religions were treated justly and mercifully. Virtues and morals of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Collection of the Noble Quran. During the rule of Uthman radiallahu anhu, many nations accepted the religion of Islam. They spoke different languages and dialects. In addition, dialects began affecting the standard Arabic language. Uthman was very keen to keep the language of the Quran as it had purely been revealed from Allah. He was worried when he realized that the people throughout the parts of the empire were reading the Quran in different dialects. Uthman had all the copies of the Quran available at the time collected. He then chose 4 prominent companions and got them to compile the Quran in the dialect of the Quraysh. Upon completing the job, Uthman sent a copy to each side of the empire and ordered them to destroy any other copies of the Quran.
قل هو الله أحد
قل أعوذ برب الفلق
قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس.
Simplicity. Uthman's life, even after becoming the caliph, was simple. Although he was one of the richest merchants of Mecca, he did not indulge in pleasures or luxury. He used to take simple food and to put on neat but simple clothes. He also used to do his personal work himself. Generosity. Uthman's generosity was unlimited. Before assuming the office of the caliphate, he always helped the Islamic movement by his wealth and bounty. On two special occasions, he proved to be the most generous man on earth at that time. On the first occasion, he equipped the major part of the Muslim army heading to Tabuk, and on the second, he distributed all his caravan to the poor and needy and refused to sell it to merchants for high prices. Uthman, radiallahu anhu, used to give alms and charity freely and to look after widows and orphans. It was his custom to free a slave every Friday.
Thank you, Uthman.
Thank you, Uthman.
Uthman, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Uthman.
Uthman, thanks.
Uthman, thank you.
During his period of rule, he did not take any salary for the position. Patience and endurance. His patience was unparalleled. In all the hardships he met during his rule, he never lost his poise and tranquility. He resigned himself completely to the decree of Allah. His trust in Allah was unshakable, and he acted without concern for his personal safety. Fear of Allah. Fear of Allah guided Uthman's actions. He was always mindful of death, the grave, and reckoning on the day of judgment. He used to repeat the Prophet's saying, "The grave is the first step of the life beyond. If one could pass this stage successfully, other stages would be rendered easy. But if it proved difficult, all other stages would be difficult." Love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uthman loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dearly. He followed the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exactly and took them as a source of guidance. He had great regard for the members of the Prophet's family. As the caliph, he doubled the allowance of the Prophet's widows. The rebellion and the end. As the Islamic State expanded greatly under the rule of Uthman, many hypocrites who pretended to have accepted Islam worked out plots to disrupt the Muslim nation and destroy the state. They tried all means to make people revolt against Uthman. They told people lies about the wealth of Uthman and his relatives. Some rebels started moving the still waters here and there. Finally, they gathered thousands against Uthman. Although he had the power to stop them and put an end to their plots, he refused all consultations to wage a war against the rebels. Uthman, radiallahu anhu, was 82 years old at that time. He did not like to shed blood. He was always known to be bashful and merciful. He did not expect the people to revolt against him. However, he knew that the Jews were behind the intrigue. Accusations against Uthman radiallahu anhu. Near the end of Uthman's rule, The move of rebellion in Kufa and Egypt was about to end in turmoil. The enemies of the caliph began to talk loosely that the caliph was not following the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the preceding caliphs. Few people realized the bad consequences of such talks and rumors. In fact, Uthman did several things that the rebels took as a false evidence against him. They said that he erected tents in Mina as a shelter during Hajj time, the thing which had not been done before. Indeed, the Muslim army used these tents in Mina when they saw other armies using them. It was something trivial to rely on to kill a caliph. These tents were meant to protect Muslims against the scorching sun. The second allegation of the rebels was that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the first two caliphs, zakat was not levied on horses, while Uthman levied zakat on horses. The fact is that horses had been few and used only in warfare at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the wealth that the Muslims gained, Uthman radiyallahu anhu saw it was proper to levy zakat on horses as on camels. Many other accusations were made against Uthman. The hypocrite Abdullah ibn Saba, originally a Jew pretending to have become a Muslim, poured oil on the fire. He did his best to gain his objective, which was to destroy Islam and the Muslim state. He made an alliance with other governors who were discontent with Uthman, and the trouble moved to Al-Medina. However, all those lies against Uthman radiyallahu anhu could not change him. He continued to be a merciful and lenient governor. Even during the time he was attacked by his opponents who wanted to kill him, he did not use the funds of the treasury to spend on those who would guard his house. His enemies told the people that Uthman gave more power to his relatives, who in turn abused their positions and oppressed those under their rule. The opposition grew to the extent that it spread all over the state of Islam. The people that began all the plotting against him surrounded his house and encouraged people to kill him. Many of his advisors asked him to try putting a stop to the riot, but he did not. At last, his opponents entered into his house and killed him while he was reciting the Quran. They opened his cabinet to take the money they had falsely accused him of collecting for his relatives. However, they found a box in which there was a piece of paper that said, "This is Uthman's testimony before Allah. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Uthman ibn Affan bears witness that there is no true deity but Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. Paradise is true and hell is true, and Allah will resurrect everyone on the day of judgment, for Allah will never break his promise. He lives by that, dies with that, and resurrects believing in that." His body was kept inside his house for 3 days until the people of Al-Medina could bury it. May Allah be pleased with Uthman radiyallahu anhu for the great services he rendered to Islam and the Muslims. It was enough for Uthman radiyallahu anhu to be praised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uthman is bashful to the extent that angels get bashful when they see him. When you get older, always remember Uthman's generosity and morals. You should read his story to your friends and follow his example in piety and bashfulness.
أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب.
Is one who is obedient to Allah, prostrating himself, or standing in prayer during the hours of the night, fearing the hereafter, and hoping for the mercy of his Lord like one who disbelieves? Say, are those who know equal to those who know not? It is only men of understanding who will remember.
Copyright notice. This presentation is protected by copyright laws and international copyright treaties, and all rights of it are reserved. No copying, transfer, distribution, modification, or translation of this product, electronic or otherwise, is permitted without Dar es Salaam's written permission. Violation of copyright is a serious offense, punishable by monetary penalties and possible imprisonment. Dar es Salaam makes no warranties regarding this presentation, except as to replacement of defective ones, if any, supplied by Dar es Salaam. Dar es Salaam Head Office, P.O. Box 22743, Riyadh 11416, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Telephone 00966-1-403-3962 or 404-3432. Fax 00966-1-402-1659. Email darussalam@owlnet.sa. Web www.dar-us-salam.com. Branches: Jeddah, Al Khubar, Sharga, Lahore, Houston, New York, London, and Birmingham.